Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He is the only
wake
way.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late. Everybody.
Wake up late.
Wake up.
It's late. Time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Coral Springs, and now you know.
We're the hottest show in the world.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
I said 1, 2, 3. Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now. Let's start the show.
Welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm Dougie Almeida, and it's a special day, a bonus day we call it here. I said bonus here in the studios where we give you three shows for the week. In studio, my good friend and fellow comedian, Steve Marshall, as he fidgets with his phone.
No, I record everything, so when I go on stage, I have usually two cameras. I record everything. I come from that generation where, you don't know what you're going to say on stage, so you audio it, or now you video it.
Well, thank you. And, of course, his good friend who I just recently met last time, who attended one of our kosher comedy shows, and musician, Jonathan Greenberg.
Both. I'm a friend and a musician.
A friend and a musician. That's right. Nice when you can check off a few boxes.
Both boxes.
Yeah. Right? You know what I mean? It's like in Google Friends, they say, okay, this is a friend. And then you can say, like, business acquaintance, you know, a comedian, a booker. You know, that's right. Mine. I have these people listed,
He's got many tags.
Yeah, asshole. You know, there's some people, I hope that doesn't come across to Google where I list these people as asshole group. You know, there's only a couple people in it, though.
That would probably get a lot of listeners.
You think? Like, who wants it? Like, I think everybody on this show should have, like, one person they have to name as their official asshole. Like, everybody has that one person that you know, and that probably a lot of people and maybe in your circle also would agree with you that the person's an asshole. Like, I mean, if one person calls somebody an asshole, it's you got a problem. It's you there's something you're not coping with. But if dozens, if not hundreds of other people consider someone else an asshole, then
and they're officially an asshole.
You would think.
Yeah.
Right?
I think that's reasonable.
I'm just saying, like, and there's people, there's people that are on that gauge where maybe a couple of dozen people call them an asshole.
A couple of dozen.
Right.
That's an extremely official asshole.
Well, and now if those dozen people that called that person an asshole were all guys or all girls,
right.
The guy could be a perverted asshole if it's a guy,
huh.
And all the girls don't like him because maybe he's just hungry and hasn't got laid in a while.
The gender angle, I never considered that.
I'm just saying, he'd be an asshole guy, but to other guys, they love him. Like, he's the guy who's always out there chasing women, like, I got to go out with Gary because, I want to meet some chicks.
Right, right.
And he's the only one who will go over and talk to somebody, Are you that you approach women when you're single? You approach girls. You were the one.
Yes, I was very. I could be very aggressive.
Yeah,
I was known as the icebreaker. I was. Yeah, somebody's got to say hello or come up with something to get the ball rolling.
Right.
Sure. But I'm sure at times I was the charming guy. I mean, times you're the asshole. You know what I mean. What's an ass? I mean. An asshole could just be somebody who has a different opinion than you. You know what I mean?
Well, there's a difference between an asshole and a dick.
There is?
Yeah. I mean, listen, assholes are just people, most of the time, that do stupid things, embarrassing things, inconsiderate things. It's more like a doofus. An asshole is just somebody who's just kind of stupid and does stupid things.
Could you give me
things.
An example?
Let's see,
don't do one with me in it.
All right, like an asshole.
No, he's saving you for the dick example.
Yeah, I got to get, don't let me get to the dicks. Right. We're starting from, it's like alphabetical, Al. We're going to start with the assholes being A.
I'm in the schmuck category.
That's right at the end.
Right. So what's an, give me an example of something that would be an asshole.
An asshole would be, let me think of a second. Okay, an asshole would be someone who, let's say, Like, let's say you don't, you tell your buddy, hey man, listen, if my wife asks, we didn't go to a strip club last night. You know, we just, we went out to play pool and shit, you know what I mean? And then he'd be an asshole if he went to your wife and said, hey, we went to a strip club last night.
Right, that's an asshole. Yeah, I agree.
Right?
Yeah, okay. What an asshole.
Now,
yeah.
A dick would be someone who said that and then said that you went into the VIP room with somebody. Now, that would be a dick move.
Oh, so an asshole is kind of like a wise guy who can't control himself from saying something really idiotic, but a dick is malicious.
Right.
There's a more malicious outcome to a dick.
Dicks have a little more of a, like I'm saying, an asshole just be somebody who does stupid things and that can mess things up for you and not be counted on, you know, unreliable. Like, you know what I mean?
Is there something more than a dick? Because I was thinking, are we allowed to curse on? Are we allowed to?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. I was thinking like a fuck. You know, we would say like in Brooklyn, like this guy's a real
He's a real fuck.
Yeah, because a fuck is somebody who's like, he's going beyond, like a dick might just say something that would get you in trouble or is malicious, but a fuck is trying to wipe you out. Do you know what I mean? He's trying to fuck you over, you know?
Well, listen,
well, that's going to bring us to the comedy business in a second.
I think, listen,
whatever on the next level is comedy.
Well, let's look at the word fuck. Somebody who's a fuck. Mm-hmm. I mean, listen, you could go bowling with an asshole, right? You can even go, like, to a bar with an asshole, right? You may even hang out with a dick every once in a while.
Right.
But you're never going to spend time with a fuck.
Right, because he's going to fuck you over.
A fuck is just somebody who you just can't, not only not trust, but you expect them. It's almost, you would be surprised if they did anything else other than screw something
up.
Well,
I think a dick is going to do something where you're going to be like, oh man, now I have to explain this and fuck, that sucks. But a fuck is somebody who's going to do something that's irreversible. Do you understand? Well, something that can't be
malicious,
can't be corrected.
Yeah, like a dick will like know you have to go to the bathroom. Like when you stop on a road trip, a dick will like go like take the key and go first into the bathroom, and then purposely lock it in the bathroom.
No,
so
a dick is somebody who won't pull over so you can go. He's like, come on, you can go another hour. Do you know what I mean? An asshole is somebody who would like purposely not tell you that there's a restroom because he's getting a kick. It's funny that you're not peeing. And a fuck is somebody who would just be like, know that if you don't go to the bathroom, you have a problem physically or something,
right.
And he's enjoying that this is your demise.
Right. A fuck doesn't even necessarily have to say or do anything. They now, just have to be so happy.
And what's the purpose of talking about this? How does this come into the context of anything?
Because this is what we call opening the show.
Okay.
And, you know what I mean? And
dick
do you always open the show with a very important conversation like this?
Or something that, it could be anything. Opening the show is like a little improv. It's a little like, okay. You know what I mean?
Did
a little ad-libbing.
By the way, did something happen to you with an asshole, a dick, or a fuck recently? Is it subconsciously on your mind?
No. Did you go to a strip club and somebody told your wife about it?
Oh, right. Now I got to explain it twice. No, listen, I don't go to strip clubs anymore. I go to Asian massage parlors. Let's get that straight.
Right.
Number one. The second one is a little more therapeutic.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're actually getting some sort of, you know, help. Right? The other one, you're not getting any help. You're
That's
just
true.
Giving, giving, giving.
That's true.
Right? There's a big difference between going to a strip club.
But was somebody, I'm too loud on the mic. Was somebody a dick to you recently, or was somebody an asshole?
I will say this, though, and I appreciate your questioning to find out what's really at...
We care, Dougie, we care.
Well, thanks, guys.
Yeah.
But what is reassuring that somebody who I think is an asshole and a fuck,
right?
Someone else also is basically without any solicitation said to me that they think this person is a fuck and an asshole. So I've added numbers to the group to justify that this person not only is an asshole and a dick.
Well, in Brooklyn, we call him a fucking asshole.
Right.
The combination description. I like that.
Right. Which is a lot more widely used and understood, right? What a fucking asshole.
Right.
Yeah. So, yes, somebody recently was confirmed and rubber stamped as a fucking asshole.
Wow.
And you know, and it was from a female perspective. When you talk about gender differences, female, because usually this particular fucking asshole, sometimes the women, you know, there's not as many women because this fucking asshole treats women a little differently than he does guys, which makes him even a bigger fucking asshole, right? I mean, I like consistency. If somebody has a personality and they treat everybody like that, rich, poor, ugly, you know.
Well, that's more fair.
That's just who they are. But yeah. when they tailor their fucked up personalities, you know, that's more conniving and psychotic, and it has to deal with all kind of other things. Yeah. What I'm saying?
Now, when does somebody reach the level of what I think goes beyond all of this?
Yep. Oh, there's a higher level?
Well, scumbag. I mean, there are scumbags. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
Well,
no, let's not overlook that. Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a fuck. There's an asshole.
All right. So let's
there's get, a fucking asshole, but there's a scumbag.
Let's all right. This is great because we have to. All right. You're right.
Yeah.
First of all, one of our labels was the icebreaker, the guy who can go and start a conversation in a bar. Right. That's a
good
dude.
That was me. I was the one who probably wouldn't get laid or pick up a girl. I was the one that the other girls would go, "What an asshole." And then they would like my friends.
Somebody else. You're like the emo though, but you're the good person there. And then of course we talk about the asshole, and then the dick, and then the fuck, which is kind of a new one. Like usually I don't have that first determined. I usually say fucking asshole or fucking prick or fucking dick.
Right.
Not a lot, but fucking asshole is a pretty good one. And then of course scumbag, which I think that's because there is a difference between a fucking asshole and a scumbag.
I should say so.
Right?
Yeah.
Like scumbag kind of insinuates a little bit of like a dirty, like whatever they're doing wrong. It's not even that it's wrong. It's almost like, how can somebody like be that disgusting about it? You know what I mean?
Like a fucking asshole is somebody who would, when you're playing sports, he cheap shots you, but you can keep playing.
Right.
A scumbag is somebody that will do something to you where you're out the whole game.
Right.
It's different between getting elbowed and you're like, that fucking asshole. Right. He's cheap shot at me. But a scumbag like kicks you in the knee and now you're out for the season.
Right.
It's so low.
You're right. So we have found somebody. So I'm just wondering though, fucking asshole and scumbag. I mean, I'm trying to
put them all together. They spell mother.
I can't figure. I'm just wondering, out of these guys, like which one? Like which one do you share? Do you share a cab with a scumbag or a fucking asshole?
Well, I think sharing a cab,
lose? Would you rather share a cab with a fucking asshole or a scumbag?
I'd rather share it with a fucking asshole.
I would say. I have to agree with that.
Yeah, exactly. Because like a fucking asshole is just going to rip you off, probably not give you the money, which you should expect. But a scumbag is going to do something foul to the driver.
Yeah, like exactly.
Right. Sounded good. I don't know. Is everybody okay with that? Who's watching
good.
This? You know.
Good. But what I like is that Dougie's writing all these terms down. He's got an advantage over us. We have to actually remember each of these terms. Asshole. Yeah. Fuck,
right. Right.
Scumbag.
We're doing it the hard way.
Yeah. I'm a professional here. I got to run the show.
Well, he's got to teach this to children afterwards.
Yeah. This is part of my karate class to the Saturday class next week.
Right.
All right. Everybody, bend. Get on your knees. Put your hands out.
And, well, let me ask you that.
Bow.
When you go, since we're martial artists, and when you do, are you teaching a karate class now? Did you start doing it?
No. I used to, though.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, like, which one of these do you find in a karate class or in a martial arts class?
I don't think I've found many scumbags in martial arts, the circles of martial arts. Fucking assholes, dicks, assholes. A lot of ego. In the martial arts world, there's a lot of ego. I was thinking about you the other day. Somebody put a Facebook post together. You had showed me a video of your instructor,
right?
Fighting with a guy who claimed to be
a Gus. Yeah, that guy Gus.
Another master or sensei or something.
Right. We don't have to use the names, but that's right.
Right there. And your instructor kind of toyed with him.
Right.
Another new comic in New York, Oni Perez. I think he works a lot at the. He used to be in Miami. He lives there now. And he's into grappling and stuff. He put a photo of a guy, an MMA fighter, against a guy who was like a Tai Chi, supposed.
Oh, I saw that.
You saw that video?
Yeah, it was over the one that's over like in 15 seconds.
Right. Well, the Tai Chi guy comes out.
The
like
Tai Chi guy is his arms in some. And by the way, I do Tai Chi. I've never seen that pose. It doesn't look like carrying the tiger over the mountain or anything like that. That's another thing. These guys get in and they do things. What? The guy just got creamed.
Yeah. Well, my point on that, I made a comment on that post that there seemed to be an age difference the MMA guy looked like he was in his 30s or late 20s, and the Tai Chi guy looked like he was 50-something years old.
Yeah, but you should still be able to fight. No, you should still be able to defend yourself.
When it comes to an aggression, yeah, I mean, listen, the people that talk about Tai, here's the problem with that. Here's what I'm going to assume happened. The Tai Chi master has not gotten into any type of sparring lately. You know, it's like he's doing his moves and going through the motions, but you know this. You know, like I used to laugh in martial arts, there was two parts. There's a few, when it came to Taekwondo, which was an area I studied in Korean arts, there was the World Taekwondo Federation out of the Kukiwon in Seoul, Korea. There was the communist one, which is the ITF, the International Taekwondo Federation, which got North Korea. And then you had the ATA, the American Taekwondo Association. The people who went to ATA classes never did contact and sparring. I went to a class one time and they said, we don't do contact sparring. I said, okay, nice talking to you. You know what I'm saying? I don't. That's like going to bed. That's like laying in bed with your wife naked, not to have sex. You know, there's a certain part.
That's not a good analogy. I know it's a terrible analogy. But yet it is a good analogy. But you're right. But you know what? Because they have point fighting versus full contact. Right. What do you want to go to bed and just be like, I'll give you a massage naked or something? By the way, I'm in the Jewish Taekwondo Association. It's known as the ATM machine.
Yeah, ATM.
I want to have a few jokes on this show.
There's got to be some. Well, that's the thing about this podcast. You know, humor comes without effort. I don't know if that's a saying. I think somebody said that. Yeah.
In other words, the way I was trained, I'm not a tough guy. You know that. Dougie, you and I have been in the kitchen. I mean, I laugh hysterically because I wanted you to show me how you throw a Muay Thai kick or whatever.
Right. I didn't even know you two were dating.
My wife was gone for a couple weeks. Right. I was a little lonely.
Martial arts is a dance. Yeah. The way we do it. But, you know, we were trying to be realistic, or, you know, in other words, everybody hits the bag. You know, right. I always say this. You always see guys, they're hitting the bag, they're destroying the bag, but the bag doesn't move or hit back.
It's the famous part of Enter the Dragon with Bruce Lee when the guy breaks the board. And Bruce Lee says, boards don't hit back. Right. And, you know, but my point was, is that you have to know, you have to get into that, not only hitting, right? Because if you pull your punch all the time, you're never going to know to throw it. And number two, how to get hit. You know, like Mike Tyson's fame, everybody has a plan until they get punched.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's, to me, everything and every street fight I've ever been in, that was the determinant factor. That's the moment you know, hey, this is going to be a little easier than I thought, when you pop somebody with a nice punch and they all of a sudden they do that, you know, newborn baby pony walk. You know what I mean? Or they do that stiff thing where they look like, you know, like a messed up G.I. Joe doll. You know, that's the thing. But you have to, in order to defend yourself, in order, like that Tai Chi guy, the only way that you're going to defend yourself is a guy who's training MMA where you pound, you put on the gloves and the headgear and you pound each other in the head. You know, you don't sit there and do this. And,
yeah, every class I ever took, Tai Chi, Xing Yi, Bagua, Shuai Jiao, we had actual contact. And, you know, it's funny. I'm going to segue it back into comedy. There's a lot of comedy classes, a lot of comedy coaches,
right?
And they give the kids a lot of rules, but also they do these things called pre-shows, you know, where you bring all your friends. That's point fighting, all right?
Right.
That's not full contact. You need to take your comedy into a room where there are strangers and people don't know you, and you need to get hit.
Right.
And you need to learn how to handle yourself on stage when you get hit or heckled.
Sure.
So it's the same thing. It's the same thing in comedy. You have to put yourself in realistic situations.
I'm not even going to say that. I'm going to stretch this out even further. I put this not even martial arts, but just like in life. You know, if I'm on Facebook and people are posting everything political, making comments about how they know this and that.
Right. Right.
There was somebody on Facebook earlier, one of my buddies' posts, that posted something about what happened in England. You know, they were arguing about this is not terror, it's not ISIS. I'm like, first of all, you know, coming from a soccer mom, your knowledge of terrorism, you know what I mean? Anybody who's going to say, like, I'm not going to argue with that. If, you know, if someone's going to sit there and say, well, let me tell you, it's not terrorist, because I'm like, the first thing I'm going to do is tell myself is, this person doesn't work for Blackwater. This person doesn't work for the Pentagon. This person is not a security detail person that has intel and all this kind of shit. They don't, you know. So they're just speaking from a moronic place. You know, it's like a level of understanding that people think, oh, well, it's not. You don't know dick. You don't know anything about what you're talking about. And the fact that anybody else is going to even argue with you about it, you know, is senseless. If I have two plumbers that are arguing about how you do an incision and to do brain surgery on the rear the frontal lobe of your brain. That's not a conversation. I'm saying if those two guys are arguing about it, are you going to sit there and join the argument? Just saying. This is where the fucking asshole and the dumbasses and the conversation came about.
It really is an important point. I think we have a nation now because we have Facebook and we have Twitter and we have so many avenues to speak. Notice I didn't say communicate.
Right.
That everybody just thinks they have a right to speak. Sometimes I say this like if you're talking for five, imagine we'll go back to martial arts. Imagine your master or your grandmaster is speaking for 7 minutes. Then the person he's speaking to, who doesn't even have a yellow belt, thinks they get the right to speak for 7 minutes. Where sometimes I think that's very accurate that Steve Martin had that funny song he did years ago, the grandmother song, and it said, criticize things you don't know about. And I think that's the environment that we're living in. Like some people got really murdered and hurt the other day. Why don't you just post, I have compassion, I feel bad.
Right.
You really think you have the solution? Really? You don't. Right. You think you have the solution? You have the solution, right? That's not that.
Well, everybody is trying to bring in their own ideology back to this divide in this country about who or not, and that's my point. It has nothing to do with that. Whatever the president is, terrorism is not going to go on. I said something the other day on the show that somebody wrote me about an email. I said, listen, the only way that you're going to get rid of racism is if you get rid of the distinction of race. Like every time you go to this work somewhere, everything's labeled. You're Caucasian, white, Hispanic, blah, 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 Asian. If you want to get rid of racism, you get rid of the distinction of race. That's the only way you're going to get rid of racism, because technically, if I don't know you're Jewish, or if I don't know you're this or that or Muslim or whatever the fuck it is, then how am I to, how am I judging? I can only really judge on actions.
How do you get rid of that? And by the way, believe me, you're going to know we're Jewish.
Some
it's
people
hot in here, isn't it, John?
I mean, there's
come on. I'm in Florida. When did they put air conditioning on in this place?
Well, you see probably trying to save a few bucks. That's
exactly.
That's a respectable goal.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. I thought you would respect that goal.
He gives us drinks and no noshes. Not even a little noshes.
Now you sound like Peter Leonard.
Yeah.
Yeah, complaining about coffee.
But you know what I feel, Doug? I feel if everybody were, and I've said this on stage, my act is about ethnicity. That's what my act is about, and treating each other with love and affection. But if everybody were the same color, they still find a reason to dislike them. You'd be the short ones, or you'd be the ones with the small ears.
There would be some sort of distinction made.
Yeah, because it's coming out of a psychological place where people want to feel superior.
Right.
And I'm not relating that to what just went on in Manchester, because that's a horrific other topic.
Right.
I don't think that's about superiority, but this is about race and how we use race to feel superior. And somebody told me that on the west coast of the United States of America, up towards Seattle and Washington up there,
right,
what they use for hierarchy to feel superior, I think, is cars or houses or money.
Right.
Where in many places we use, especially 30 or 40 years ago, you're black, you're beneath us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're less than us. So everybody finds a way to use to feel superior. What is this thing we have to feel superior?
Well, and here's the bottom line on it. And the only thing that was good about this 99%ers over the last few years is that no matter where you are in life, no matter how shit on you feel or how bad you've had it, you know what I mean? Everybody has that same story. Everybody wakes up with adversity dealt you, no matter what happens. Even for the rich, even for the golden spoon.
Yeah, but
child,
not everybody was on a plantation.
No, but I'm saying you're
not everybody some, walks. Every,
but
the
everybody,
streets
but
after midnight.
But this
cars
is where I disagree. This is where
color.
This is where I disagree. I think everybody has their own plantation. I think everybody has their own thing. So one way or the other, and it may not be early in life, it may be late in life. Everybody has their challenges.
Everybody has challenges and obstacles, but that's not the same as being rounded up and put on a plantation, or rounded up or being put in a concentration camp. That is not a challenge or an obstacle, all right? That is a different situation.
Right.
So, yes. So what are you saying? Saying people are crying? What are you trying to say? People are crybabies or are snowflakes?
No, I'm just
are we getting into the snowflake?
I'm not. All I'm saying is that one way or the other, if you're not sitting there being taken away from the government, trying to put you away for who you are, if that's not the situation, because what are you going to do? everything else that you have a little control over, you basically got to say, look, this is, I got to deal with it. Everybody's got to deal with something fix it and do something, you know, and change it. That was my point.
No, it's a good point. No, but you know what? It's a good point because we're not talking right now about the major crimes. We're just talking about maybe your everyday person that's complaining, well, life is unfair. Yes, life is unfair for all of us. And we're not talking about the major crimes. Right. We're saying, but you can't just go around crying. Is that what we're saying, Dougie? Or complaining?
You know what? All I want to say is this. Is that everybody...
I want to say it's hot in here.
Yeah. Well, all right.
I'm kidding. I'm just being Jewish.
I thought it was a Jewish joke. Like, well, you know, it's hot in here like the oven.
Are you
going
to make me and John go to another room in the house?
Yeah. We're going to do a podcast from two different rooms. We are actually going to take a break here on the Wake Up Later with Dougie Show. That's what we're going to do. Huh? Our opening in the show has now come to an end of the opening part of the show. We come back, we're going to have what you need to know. Now, you may not know these things, but these are stories in the last couple of days I pulled, and I think you need to know these things, guys, okay? Hmm. One way or the other, I just think these are things you need to know.
We need to know these things.
You need to know.
I feel like Ed McMahon. Things we need to know when we come back.
We'll be back with what you need to know right after this.
Hey, this is Lenny Travis from the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Listen every morning or Donald Trump will deport you. You homo.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Yeah, welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I'm Dougie Almeida. Cult of Personality for you from Living Color. You can get it on iTunes if you want it. That's where I got it. Paid for it. You pay for it too. Don't be a cheap bastard. It's a special third edition of the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Special guest in the studio, Mr. Steve Marshall, who's all of a sudden not talkative.
I'll talk.
That's usually a cue.
I'm on Twitter at Don't Behave. I always forget to say that. Right. Well, I would like some people to tweet me at Don't Behave. Tell me what they think about what we're speaking about today. A whole bunch of topics. We're going to talk about the thing that happened.
And by the way, Jonathan Greenberg, your friend, is here as well.
John is great. And we're going to talk about the thing that happened to the three of us.
We're going to get to what you need to know. You should know this story because we all handled it kind of,
differently.
Right.
You guys were on the same page. For me, that was a peculiar experience.
All right. So go ahead.
Well, I had something, a tangent to it. This keeps coming up in my life. People keep thinking that boxers just go in the ring and box. But don't boxers have a plan before they go in, like you were just talking about?
Oh, yeah. I had strategy against a few of my fighters, the people I fought against. There's only like, out of the 10 fights, there's only like two people I didn't have any real clue of, I've never seen. Mm-hmm. One guy was changed. One guy was supposed to fight. But I had one of my fights that lasted 30 seconds, and I knocked the guy out. And I was supposed to fight 2 months later. The other guy, he quit.
When we were off air, but on air live, you were talking about visualization. What do you do when there's an opponent that you don't have time to visualize like that?
The minute I see him at the weigh-in, the minute I start, I start doing forward thinking on it, projection thinking. I see the person. This is a fight that I didn't fight. I was training a guy who was fighting, and a good kid, fast kid. But he was fighting this one Hispanic kid had corn rolls, and we're talking, and what's up? If everybody hangs out, whatever the event, there's two camps,
whatever,
right? So, and I saw the guy's hands. I just saw his fists. And I could tell right away that he was a heavy puncher. I could just tell by the density of the guy's hand. You could tell this guy. And I went to the other guy. I said, look, man, this guy's going to be heavy-handed. So don't be surprised if he hits you and it feels like a brick. There's a difference when somebody can hit you hard. Somebody can hit you fast. But there's a difference between when somebody's heavy-handed.
Yes, I know.
Like my kicks, my bones and my legs are, So when I would hit people with that, It wouldn't just be the speed. it's like the density. It just crushes. And I could tell because in the first round, the guy hit our fighter, and you could see like the stun. You know, he was stunning. So in a sense, he may not have been visualizing all of it, but I was visualizing it in my head for him.
And that leads us into this story because, first of all, growing up in Brooklyn myself and going to a public school, and I always say, I never used the bathroom ever in public school. That's how scary it was. The principal might have gone. We still haven't seen him. He's missing in action. So I didn't do it. It was a very unrelaxing childhood for me because every time I left the house, I was on guard that I could be attacked verbally, physically. So that leads us to, was it Easter Sunday? We went out. When did we go?
That's right. We were at...
it was Easter Sunday.
Bo Campers over in Fort Lauderdale, right off Oakland Park Boulevard.
I mean, a beautiful place where you wouldn't think you had to worry about anything.
Right.
We're on the water. It's beautiful. It's also Easter Sunday.
Right.
It's Dougie. It's John, myself, and Dougie's wife. And so, in other words, we have a woman with us.
Right.
And the four of us are standing.
And I think the key, like you said, it's Easter Sunday.
Easter Sunday, a day of peace happiness
and family.
It's
not St. Patrick's Day. It's not Halloween.
It's in the afternoon. We weren't throwing down beers. You know what I mean? It's an Easter Sunday afternoon. Yeah, but we weren't drinking like maniacs. And we're with your wife, so you could see that there's sort of a more relaxed, calm atmosphere. We don't look like three frat boys looking for trouble.
Exactly.
And we're
ruffians.
And we're not ruffians, exactly. And we're
John had his guitar.
Right.
No, he didn't.
He had his hat with the propeller. So there was a lot of things. I had a yarmulke on. That means stay away.
Yeah. I was licking a big ice cream cone with sprinkles.
Right, exactly. Then we were doing everything to show them, you know, with the rainbow sashes on. We're pro-gay.
I had a hula hoop on that day, I'm pretty
sure. Exactly.
Yeah, we were skipping
rope. We were telling people. We were doing jacks. We were saying
we're playing hopscotch.
Right. We're not... Threesies, I was up to threesies and jacks. We were saying we're not looking for any type of trouble. You know what I mean? And so the cars in the parking lot are parked very close to one another.
They're in an angle.
At an angle.
45 degree angle parking kind of thing.
And the four of us is standing between there.
And we stopped to talk for a moment.
We stopped at my car, I believe.
Right.
Yes.
We stopped at my car with the four of us were kind of like still
talking.
And
there's only like 3 feet between the two cars, maybe 2.5. And we're all just chit-chatting very gently.
You and I were towards the back of my car.
Right.
I think my wife was kind of standing near the passenger door.
Right.
Jonathan was leaning up against the car next to ours, like kind of the back part of the car.
And how are you leaning again, John? How are you leaning? Heavily, lightly, or just...
No, just as gently as it can be.
Now, first, the people that are listening online or listening on the radio, not on Facebook Live, John is not a big fella. You know, John's not...
Hey.
Listen, I'm talking... Like, what are you... You're like 5'9"?
I'm 6'7", for God's sake.
Okay, maybe he's got the wrong shoes on. Okay, but you know,
the wrong shoes on.
Yeah, maybe they're like
he was wearing flats that day.
My platforms. I'm 6'9".
But so he's not a big fellow. He's not like he's like.
I'm not scary. Nobody's going to see me.
He doesn't weigh over 200 pounds.
Right. And by the way, John has a good ending to this story because we spoke on the way home. But when you meet John, he doesn't come across as a threatening person. He doesn't have, like, no neck. You know, he doesn't have any tattoos.
You would think he lives in a cabin somewhere in Oregon.
Hey.
I'm just saying. You got the hair. He's got the blonde hair. He's like, you know, he looks like a peaceful guy. There's nothing about the guy that looks vicious.
He looks like a folk singer. You want to take a guitar and break it over his head.
I'm going to kick both your asses before we leave this room.
Well, all right.
And let me be clear to those of you that Dougie does look like he's looking for action. Let me just be clear. Even Dougie just going, where's the men's room? People are like, hey, why'd you say it that way? Okay?
A bit intimidating.
You know what I mean? I just look like some sort of like the hanger-on of a tough guy. You know what I mean? I got that Brooklyn smirk.
You're picking up the
scraps. I've got the smirk on my face. So this guy comes out. Take it.
I got the vision. Like, I'm Jabba the Hutt, and you're that ratty guy to the thing. You know?
Yeah.
So my wife's at the passenger door. Basically standing next to it. John is leaned up against the back part of that guy's driver's side.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I think it was like an Infiniti. I think that if I remember correctly, it was a Nissan or an Infiniti car, like a mid-range car. And you and I were standing towards the back of my trunk, like by my car or whatever. And like you said, we're all talking and stuff like that. So this one guy and his wife, a couple, We're probably in their, what, I would say they're probably in their late 30s, early 40s.
40-ish, I
probably in
I
the
thought.
40s. And this guy was big. He was like 6'6".
Yeah, he was a big guy.
Probably about 260, I'm guessing, 260, 270. Right. He looked like a former football player. He basically had that look like a former athlete of some
or
sort.
Or a rabbi.
Yeah, well, he could have been a rabbi. And...
Same and, difference.
Yeah, it's yeah. You know, it's
I'm trying to keep some levity in it, but the guy comes up.
Well, he comes up. His wife walks to her side of the car. My wife walks by my wife, like not hi, good morning, or anything. Walks Nothing. By, and
no, there was no happy Easter.
No, there was no hey, yeah, happy Easter. So the guy walks up and he's looking at you, uh-huh. and then I think I said you know, because you didn't even recognize the guy was there. We were talking, and then the guy was standing there looking at you, and I'm like, Oh, excuse me. Yeah, and you walked away from the car, and the guy gave John a look.
Yeah, I saw it.
Like the stink eye. Like, what the fuck is he doing? Like, if his he didn't say anything.
No words. That's right.
But if his expression, his mannerism would dictate, it was like, get the fuck. What the fuck are you doing on my fuck? What are you fucking retard? That is the look. Didn't say a word. And I think I'm watching this transpire, and you were standing next to me, so I was really paying attention to what was going on, and of course I'm like, and I think I said something to the effect of,
no, the guy says something to you like, didn't he say like,
no,
little,
I don't think he said a word.
He didn't say a word. I'm the only one who spoke.
You went under your breath to me. I think we said goodbye.
No, I don't remember going under. I remember being vocal enough because his action. Got me so pissed off that, like, A, it's Easter. B, you know, hey, buddy, what? That ain't a fucking Bugatti. That's an Infiniti fucking 2008, yeah. You fucking idiot.
Well, you went like this. It ain't like it's a Bugatti. You went like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like you got a Bugatti.
But
there.
I saw the guy's
and I said,
eyes.
I said he was leaning on it. He wasn't sitting on it.
Not keying. He said
yeah,
not
keying. Yeah, that's what I said. He was leaning against it. He wasn't keying it like that. And the guy looked and he just, you get made more
but
stupid
But the thing
faces.
Is, I don't think John... Based on what you're saying, visualization and scouting before you do things, I don't think John even realized anything that we take
Well, that's
it.
True. That's the interesting thing. I wasn't aware of any of this dynamic. All I was aware of is I'm leaning on this guy's car. He comes along, he gives me a dirty look, and I'm like, oh, sorry. That's it. That was the whole thing for me. It wasn't deeper than that.
Right.
I mean, I was aware, you know, that there was like nastiness behind this guy's eyes.
Now, let me ask you a question. Yeah. Did you feel silly about it at all? Did you say, did you say, what's this guy? Like, in other words, there's two ways you could say, like, oh, I'm sorry. You know, like, I would have been like you did. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, dude. I mean, but then the fact that he got, like, mad, you know, that's when I said it wasn't like you had, like, rhinestones on your jeans.
No.
It's not like you had a bunch of, like, 18 fucking keychains hanging from your pocket. You know what I mean?
I didn't even judge it until afterward.
I think we reacted more than you.
Yes, very much so. Yeah. But you guys, as martial artists... reacted. You were seeing all the possibilities here, I suppose.
Well,
I assume that.
Now, the real question would have been, let's visualize this. Let's say John leans back, oh, I'm sorry, like that, and he goes up to John. He grabs John by the shirt and goes, get the fuck away from my car. You were closer to him than I was.
Right.
So let me ask you, Mr. Icebreaker.
Yeah.
would you confront him, or would you verbally confront him?
Yes,
would you physically move forward towards him?
I would verbally confront him first.
Yeah.
The first thing I would do is I would put my hands up, even palms out.
Like peace, I come in peace.
Yeah,
look.
But I would take a little step forward and be like, hey, there's no need for that.
I got you.
No
need for that.
If I see he's moving to strike or something, then I got to move in. You know what I mean? Then I got to move in. But I'm also lucky because I know I have you, and I know I have your wife, who's also
well. That's the best part about this scenario. Yeah. First of all, this big, let's call him Lurch. It was like if he did that. Let's say he pushed you, and I would think you would push away, and I would then the minute you would do that, hey, we don't mean you know,
right?
You know, what's calm down
here? You got him
here.
Then. You got him then because I got him distracted.
Well, here's the best part about it. Exactly. You now go in, and I'm going to watch his aggression. I'm going to so the minute,
what level it is. Right?
Yeah, if I see him clench his fist, if I see him pick up his pace to you, the next thing I'm going to do is register my wife's doing because I imagine my wife, as long as I've known her, she's probably going to close in on him as well from behind. And I could swear to God that she'll put that. It would to me the funniest thing in the world would have been that something that would have happened, and my wife would have put that guy in a chokehold, and the three of us would have been standing there going, "Honey, let him go."
Right.
Let him go. He's a big meat. He's a big doofus. He doesn't know what he's doing. You know, I could picture that happening. But then, I visualization, I'd pick, if that would, I would picture you would do that. I think you would, my thought was you would confront them. You would say something.
That's right.
And then if the guy came at you, I wouldn't let you take the brunt. I would,
right.
I would step in between you and
right.
him.
I think you're very protective of me. I mean, I want to be clear. You're a much, you know, I am a martial artist, but I'm not a tough guy. I think you fought at a much higher level than me. You're bigger than me. I think you're more experienced than me. And all that's in your mind. Look how many things go through your mind that you're thinking, well, I know Steve can handle himself, but he's not on my level. Let me make sure he's okay. And that's what I was doing for John. But there's a kicker to this. What I would have done for John is I'm watching this guy going, I don't know if John can fight or he can't fight. I got to get in there first to protect John. And then you're thinking, well, I know Steve can fight, but I don't know how well he can fight.
Well,
I got to get in there.
Let's go back there a little bit there. I know Steve can fight, but this guy outweighs Steve
right.
by 150-something pounds.
But I wish we were all just thinking, I hope Dougie's wife jumps in before any of us.
I will say this. I think it would be funny if, like, if all of a sudden you got on my shoulders and then John got on your shoulders, and then we walked up to the guy.
But now, here's a funny thing. Now, we're going home in the car, right home, and just like you say that John looks like what he is, a rock musician. He looks like a rock musician. He looks like, you know what I mean? That's what he does. He doesn't go around fighting people. He looks like he never had a martial arts class in his life. And what do you tell me in the car?
That I'm a pretty good fighter.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. I It's not like this is tested frequently in my life, okay? But the times that it has been tested,
Now, you say you're a good fighter, you punch like...
I don't punch.
No?
And if somebody takes a swing at me and makes contact, I'm fucked.
Okay.
But if I can get past the first punch and get into the body, I'm quite good.
You mean like in like grappling techniques? And,
yeah. Like with this guy, if he'd gotten too close to me, I mean, unless he had taken a swing and just landed it right square on my nose or something, I would have ducked down a little bit, grabbed him by the knees, and ran forward and flipped him
shoot,
over my
he was
back,
shooting
basically.
Him. Yeah.
He's got natural fighting instincts.
Well, here's the best thing about that. First of all, the biggest thing about defending yourself, and everybody I fought, my 10 professional fights, everybody was at least 50 or 40 pounds heavier or 4 inches taller, and sometimes both. And, you know, that you're at a disadvantage. But there's that striking zone. Once you know somebody's striking zone and they come through it and you're in it, it doesn't matter how tall you are. That same guy, I don't know if you saw the video, posted this. It was like a jiu-jitsu competition. And this one skinny guy was on this guy like a squirrel in a tree. And he just basically, the guy didn't know what to do because the guy was all wrapped up in him like a python. And I'm watching it thinking, well, all you got to do is shimmy and shake. You know, you got to turn it and just out and throw the guy off you. But the guy is obviously a wrestler, not an MMA fighter. You could tell the difference between a wrestler and a jiu-jitsu fighter.
Well, what's the difference?
Well, wrestlers have good with arm locks, and they're really hard to take down. Their center of gravity. I mean, there's a lot of, but their basis is, you know, like takedown, pins. You know, but a jiu-jitsu fighter uses arm locks, you know, triangle holds, your legs. I mean, it's just a different thing. You know, wrestling, you learn how to, you know, grapple and throw to the ground like sport wrestling or high school wrestling.
Right.
If you trained in that. Even like judo. Judo, you learn the throws, but you're not really, until you get to advanced levels of judo, you're not really learning joint locks and stuff like that. You're really just learning balance and throwing. But, you know, so that's what I'm saying. So that's the difference. You get in a fight with a wrestler. You know, I had a street fight with a wrestler in Seattle. The guy threw me up against the wall, had me by the jackets on the side. You know, a guy outweighed me, outsized me. But like you said, I'm inside. The guy has me by my jacket. I come up, chicken wing his arm, turn him around. Next thing you know, he's on the ground. You got him in an arm lock. Wrestlers don't do that. So I thought that was funny as shit because, again, I was taken by the... Now going back to segment one, will we call this guy an asshole? we call him a dick, a fucking asshole, or a fuck.
My first instinct is...
Or a scumbag.
He's a dick. He's being a dick.
Yeah.
It's Easter. We're all smiling, having a great mood. It could be a family. We've got your wife with us. And he's giving us the stink eye just to ruin our party. He's a dick.
That's it. I think that you label that one. He was a dick. Right?
Dick. I'll go with dick.
Yeah, he was a dick. Yeah. This is the Wake Up Late with Dougie show where you guys aren't dicks for watching. I'm here with Steve Marshall and Jonathan Greenberg. By the way, tonight, Facebook Live, I don't know if there's any seats left, to be honest with you. We usually sell out the shows, and we were pretty sold out. We only had a few things left as of last week.
Wow.
For tonight.
Oh, cool.
But if you want to come by Tavolino's, there's a bar. You can hang out in the back. And standing room only, perhaps. But tonight, 8:15 showtime, just $10, unless they change it to 15. But listen, if $15 is going to make or break the deal, stay home.
Great food, great Italian food, great atmosphere. There's an outdoors, you know, for afterwards to hang out. What's the address? How do people know to get there?
It's, here's the address. Go on your phone and punch in Tavolino della Notte.
It's on
Sample Road. Like,
Sample Road, right after University or before
about
University?
About a mile west of University.
A mile west of
about
University.
About a quarter mile east of Coral Springs Drive.
It's 10181 West Sample Road.
10181 for all you Mensa members out there. And by the way, we're going to take a break here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. You found out a lot you needed to know. That was a great story.
That was great.
That was all of us in action.
You know what you need to know? It was all of us. We really are friends. Really, really good friends. You know what you need to know? Never underestimate anyone, because the folk singer looks like he can fight, and your wife would have been the most vicious of all of us. So don't underestimate anyone, and you know what? Just be nice to people.
By the way, Marjorie on Facebook Live said, don't fuck with Jesus. She called you Jesus.
All right. I think that's reasonable.
Yeah. I mean, he sounds like Jesus. So, you know, like very like calm, you know, soothing. You know, that would have been funny if the guy started shit and then you just really started talking to him. Like, I really, you know, and he would have been like.
I was amazed. I've known John a long time. And I never thought of him as a wimp. But the last thing I thought of is this guy as a fighter.
How funny would that have been? The guy did make a move. And next thing you know, we're like the Fantastic Four beating the shit out of the guy. Wow. Anyway, we'll be back with Straight from the Headlines here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show right after this. Hey, this is Dougie Almeida from the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Why don't you come out and see his show? You can catch me April 20th to the 23rd at the Comedy Catch in Chattanooga, Tennessee. On May 3rd through the 6th, I'll be at the Looney Bin in Little Rock, Arkansas. May 10th through the 13th, I'll be at the Looney Bin in Wichita, Kansas. May 19th, I'll be at the Claremont Performing Arts Center in Claremont, Florida. May 31st at the Mississippi Moon Bar at the Diamond Joe Casino in Dubuque, Iowa. And on June 1st to the 3rd, I'll be at Penguins Comedy Club in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. For more dates, go to DougieAlmeida.com. And remember, we want to make you laugh, so come on out and enjoy live comedy anywhere you possibly can. Thanks for listening, guys, and now back to the show.
This is the Reverend Bob Levy, and you're listening to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. If you're not, you're probably sleeping, you lazy fucks.
Yeah, welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
And now, for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's Straight from the Headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Yeah, welcome back. The Wake Up Late with Dougie show, and it's time for Straight from the Headlines, where we talk about things from around the world and make fun of it. That's what we do. You know, people ask me what the podcast is about, and this is a special day. We're all messing around, but for the most part, you know, the podcast is basically a blend of comedy and news, because there's so much crap going on, you know, that you have to know this. Like, okay, we're talking about You're the Icebreaker out there. But women are going clubbing wearing nothing but tape. You know, there was a lady on Facebook that walked the streets in New York, and she had body paint on her top, like a blouse, and people couldn't tell because, I mean, first of all, she was a beautiful woman, and she had a blouse painted onto her, and you know, some people know, you could tell, some people notice, but there's other people oblivious. They didn't notice this beautiful woman's walking around completely naked without, well, top off. I don't know. Would you think you'd notice a woman, she was naked, just painted on clothes?
Of course I would.
Yeah.
It looks different. But I think, what do you mean they just have tape on? I guess if she's a big girl, she'll need like masking tape or like some sort of industrial tape or something. But what do you mean they just have tape? What type of, let me see.
I don't want to turn it too much. I don't want my cords all to mess up.
All right. Let me just take a real look.
Isn't it hot? Like.
All right, so for those who can't see it,
they got tape on it, like a Eddie Van Halen guitar.
The tape has color on it. It's not just, I thought, like Scotch tape. It looks hot.
You ever put Scotch tape over girls' nipples for fun? I have.
Things you need to know. We just did that segment. Oh. That must be great, though. I put clothespins on a girl's nipples.
I've done that, too, yeah.
Yes.
That's always fun. Here's a trend that's starting to stick. Women in nightclubs wearing nothing but more than tape, covering their bits and bobs. Bits and bobs. I thought it was boobs. That could have been subconscious. Which leads to one painfully obvious question. Does it hurt when you take off your clothes at night? You know, can you imagine you take a hot girl home? She's beautiful and this and that. And all of a sudden, she's got all this tape on her. It's like somebody who really wraps a gift really good or really well. Don't you hate people that really wrap, like take a lot of time?
Yeah, yeah.
And wrapping a
it's like that gift. UPS parcel you can't wait to get open. Oh my God, you're right. This is going to kill the mood because instead of hearing
and let's face it, you can leave all this, like you can that. Leave tape on all the areas that you're not concerned with.
Right.
But you want to take it off, you know, usually where the openings
are. If I want it to be sexist, I said you take the tape off and you put it over the mouth. But if I want it to be sexist,
yeah,
that's what I would say. But I don't want to be sexist.
No. The odd tale of tape begins with Joel Alvarez, a photographer in Miami, of course, a creator of the Black Tape Project, which calls the tape art an alternative fashion. Now, again, it looks good. I mean, some of these girls are pretty hot. I mean, it's pretty sexy.
But the tape, the way the tape is on them, it's like a V. It just looks like the bathing suits girls are wearing now.
Right.
Or that new top. All the women are wearing this top, which is like an extreme V that goes down and exposes their belly button and all their cleavage. So that's what the tape looks like on this young lady.
Yes.
I think it's hot. I think
it looks great, but it's not like you're going to wear it like every other, you know. I mean, you thought your girl took a long time to get ready before, but now she's got to put on 1,800 pieces of tape. You know, I'll be ready. Can you help me over here? It's a little rough. Now, speaking of wardrobe malfunctions, I love it when I'm watching the news and something messed up happens. Or, you know, one of those live broadcasts and things happen. Like, somebody showed me the video not too long ago of these two newscasters where they hated each other, and the guy on the field... It was at a housing complex or something. The guy asked him something. He's like, well, what's that mean? Why don't you ask him another question? I'm like, oh, well, and he's like, you know, if you were a good reporter, you'd know that. They started arguing. I didn't think it was funny. You know, like I was at a Dunkin' Donuts when I was on the road recently. And the one girl behind the counter goes, hey, I need a chicken go wrap or chicken snack wrap. And the girl behind the counter says, look here, sister, I got 8 people in the drive thru. All right, well, you don't have to talk to me that. And they started getting into it. I'm like, you really want me to hear all this? Missing earring halts Philadelphia TV weather forecast. I need to know the weather. In Philadelphia, a Philadelphia meteorologist has a TV news anchor to thank for finding an earring that fell off during her live forecast. In the video posted on Cicely Tynan's social media account, she can be seen giving the details for Memorial Day weekend, given details of the weekend weather, when her earrings pop off. Moments later, news anchor Jim Gardner walks behind her, hunched over, looking for the earrings as he blocks the graphic for the 7-day forecast. Hey, tell Jim to get the fuck out of the way. He finds the earrings and hands it over to Laughing Tynan. By the name, I'm going to assume she's a beautiful young black woman. Who says the whole scene was her favorite moment ever on Action News.
That's Action?
Yeah.
Newscasters. I don't understand what...
Do you know any newscasters? You ever, you friends with any newscasters?
No.
I always said there could be a little bit, you know... It's like the Will Ferrell thing, you know what I mean? Like he's Ron Burgundy, whatever. Did you know that... I read something recently. He wanted to be... Or he did a commencement at one of these graduates. He said he wanted to be... a newscaster. He wanted to be a sportscaster. That was his...
Will Ferrell?
Yeah, that was his original, what he really wanted to do. And then he watched comedy and said, this is what I want to do.
Hmm.
Yeah. Like you and I talked about, you never thought you were going to be a comic when you're doing accounting.
Wow, I got to tell you something. I was hoping I would be a comedian when I was doing accounting. I knew when I was 15 or 14 that I wanted to be a comedian. I just didn't have the guts, I swear to you, to tell anyone. I was so... embarrassed to say that to anyone. That, man. If I said to anyone, I really want to be a comedian, I just was I got embarrassed very, very easily for many years, well into my adulthood also. And then, but when I was doing accounting in college, I kept saying, don't worry, you're not going to do this. That was my visualization.
It took me one semester in accounting because I went to college going to be a psychologist. I wanted to learn psychiatry. and all that stuff. And then, you know, I said, you know, I was, found out I was good with numbers. I started doing accounting, and that seemed like I got did well with it. But then I'm like, all the professors, you know, that you met, like, I don't want to be anything like these people. Right? And you realize that this isn't a people thing.
Being an accountant, not at all.
I'm not a people person being an accountant. And then, of course, went on and realized I mean, I wasn't going to be a professional soccer player. But
at least you got to do all those things. Like, I was a fencer in college and everything. I think the accounting now, late in life, I think I was just hiding, and I just had so much social phobia and was so uncomfortable with myself. And accounting was like going to be like the final nail of self-sabotage.
Yeah.
I really mean it. And then at the last second, I was like, it was like Midnight Express. Remember, they're all walking around that circular thing. And finally, he walks the opposite way because he knows if he keeps walking in the circle like them, he's never getting out of that Turkish prison. I had to stop walking that accounting circle.
I hear that, brother. Here's a story. I was a kid. My mother used to take me shopping all the time. My biggest fear was getting locked in the store. That was one of my biggest fears as a kid, is that we're going to leave. Because, like, I remember we used to go to Jefferson's and Jordan Marsh. And all of a sudden, Jordan Marsh would be closing in 30 minutes. Right. You know, like, Mom, we got to go. We got to get out of here. I'm like, my mom would still walk. Like, she'd be making her way to the back of the store while they're making these announcements. And I would flip out. And, you know, there's only so much time you can spend in the toy aisle. You know, there's only so much time you can hang around. You know, sometimes you go, you think as a kid, I'll go to the store, I can go play with the toys, and maybe I'll get my mom. Then you get there, and when your mom shops forever, that's a bad deal. So I was worried we'd get locked in. That was always my big fear. I'd get stuck in that store.
Well, I know this might be the psychiatric portion of the show, not the news. Did you have abandonment issues?
No.
I did.
Yeah, I had three older brothers. My issues were as I grew up. I never wanted to be like them.
How did they turn out?
They all, you know,
dicks and assholes.
Yeah, dick assholes, scumbags. not really. No scumbags.
We're kidding.
Some assholes. Right. Here's a story. Woman trying to buy a birthday card trapped inside a CVS. My biggest fear is coming true.
That's your fear.
Titusville, yeah. Florida. A woman trying to buy a birthday card called police when she was accidentally barricaded inside a CVS store in Central Florida. Lillian Rommel stopped at a Titusville CVS at 9:50 p.m. Friday to make a quick purchase, unaware the store was about to close. As she walked towards the checkout, just after 10 p.m., she triggered a motion sensor alarm and found herself barricaded inside a metal security gate, blocked the front entrance as sirens blared. Oh, my God. There's got to be some footage of this. That'd be hilarious. Listen, if that happened to me, I'd go to the candy aisle and start eating shit. You know what I mean? I mean, what am I doing here?
I don't know how they didn't spot her. I mean, what's the bigger issue? How do they not?
It was 10 minutes after 10. These people wanted to get the hell out of there.
Yeah, that's that, quitting time.
I started screaming, is anyone here? Can anyone help me? Florida News said that reports Rimmel was worried someone would mistake her for a burglar and come and shoot her. She stood in front of a security camera and dialed police. They contacted the manager to come and let her out. It was just so nervous. I was just so nervous that I did something wrong. She said that she did not know how store employees could have missed her. She's 6 feet tall and said she could look over all the partitions. Well, I've been in CVS's.
Where did this happen?
In Titusville.
Titusville, Florida.
Yeah, about 2 hours north of here.
Right.
A store manager said he couldn't comment, but CVS spokesman Mike DeAngelis said in an email on Monday that the company sincerely apologizes for the incident. We had reinforced the store's closing procedures with all the other people in that store. Yeah. I mean, there is. I worked at banks. You know, there's a closing, but there's an opening procedure. I explained it the other day. You know, there's certain things you got to do. And I imagine in a drugstore.
Yeah, you would think so.
You would think, like, look, there's got to be the manager's got, you know, the last
make
one
an
to
announcement,
leave.
We're closing. If anybody's here, we're closing. Go down the aisles.
You flick the lights, right? You do something.
Were you ever locked in a store, John? I'm trying to include you.
Thank you, Steve.
How about a car?
No. I once got lost in the lobby of the Fontainebleau Hotel when I was about 3 years old.
Really?
Yes.
You remember it?
Yes, I do. It was a scary moment. My parents had gone somewhere, like probably 20 feet away, but it was crowded and I couldn't see them. And
well, you're 3 years old. It's like a good vantage point.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
See?
Yeah, that was my scary.
That's scary shit.
Yeah, do you have abandoned me? You know what happened to me when I was 4 years old? I'll tell you. So talking about abandonment issues and my parents, I made that joke about my mother, put them all together, dick, asshole, scumbag, put them all together, spell mother. They're playing cards at the table at the beach club. I'm four, and I'm walking around, and I decided I saw kids diving into a swimming pool. I'll dive into the adult swimming pool. And I went down so slowly that my head just touched the bottom, and I realized I was drowning. I was drowning. I went down so slowly. I was such a bad athlete, and luckily some lifeguard pulled me by the feet out of the water. My parents had no idea. You don't watch a four-year-old kid or somebody buying a birthday card? I thought I'd tie it in.
That is funny. So you get a, they were busy. They didn't care that you floated to the bottom.
They didn't care. I was unwanted.
You know, I learned how to swim. I had one of those bubbles on me, you know, one of those little styrofoam bubbles. You had like a thing. You put a round bubble on your back like you're a turtle. And I remember we had a pool. We always had when we lived in Florida, I had a pool. So I jumped in the pool, and the damn thing came off. Just came off, broke off, and bloop, I got out of that pool so fast.
How did you get out? What? How?
I swam. I learned how to swim. You know how to paddle. And again, it's almost like fighting. When you don't panic in a situation like that, that's the difference between life and death. You know, I'm never going to be a statistic. I can assure you that. So I urge our listening audience to be a little bit more attentive of those things. You know, that's why I'm saying, that's why I don't like to hear excuses. You know, I mean, they're there. There's always a reason for something bad happening, and there's usually good reasons sometimes. Some things you can't avoid. But I don't buy that for myself. You know what I mean? Everything I could possibly do, I try to make sure I have.
Try and stay calm like the woman in the card shop. You know what? Maybe fill out a card and send it to somebody. See you soon. Maybe not see you soon. Maybe there's an appropriate card. Help get me the fuck out of this store.
It'd be fun. Yeah, pick up the phone and listen. I told you I would have broken into the M&M's, peanut M&M's. Here's another story. A woman caused $350,000 in damage at her ex-husband's home. I guess she didn't win it in the divorce. Woodstock, New York. You're a musician. You know Woodstock has some relevancy.
Yeah.
State police have charged 61-year-old New York woman with causing more than $350,000 in damage to artwork, antiques, and other personal property of her ex-husband. Now that's the thing. Like, if you're going to... Okay, it's one thing if you burn my clothes, right? You throw shit out, my stuff, my favorite, you know. But if I have expensive artwork and you didn't... You know, you're gonna, listen.
Right. You can burn my clothes. You can throw me down. But leave my expensive artwork alone. Yeah, something like that.
That's nice.
Yeah, leave
nice.
My Picasso alone.
Troopers, <Don't you?
laughs> troopers say Anna Rockman of Elmont on Long Island was charged Monday after surrendering herself to state police in Kingston. Police say August of 2015, they started investigating a burglary and destruction of items in the home just outside Village of Woodstock. Troopers say someone had forced their way into the house and damaged expensive artwork, antiques, electronics, appliances, musical instruments, and other personal items. Boy, this guy had a lot of shit.
Right.
Authorities say the home is owned by Rockman's ex-husband, and now we all know why it's her ex-husband. Right. She was arraigned in Woodstock and freed after posting $5,000 in bail, which she raised by selling some of the artwork she didn't mess up. Don't know if that's true.
Could you imagine if tonight people listening to this podcast are going, these are news stories, and then they turn on the 7 o'clock or 6 o'clock national news, and it begins with the woman in the card store, then it goes to the person destroying the $350,000, then there's a whole segment of what to do if somebody catches you leaning on their car. We know what's important here.
Listen, trust me, you can get all your other crap on other news.
This is the stuff that's relevant.
I'm telling you, it's things you need to know.
These are things. These are not alt facts. This is real news.
All right, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to let you guys, I'm going to break a wall down. I'm not going to make this just my show. I'm going to make you guys a part of the decision process.
Oh, no.
We only have a few minutes left of the show. I've got four stories that we can do.
Right.
All right? I'll give them to you. You guys tell me which ones.
Can we vote on the ones we just told? Because I wasn't so crazy about them.
Yeah, all right. Well,
all right, give us four stories. We'll pick.
8-foot python startles man and dog in their garage in Florida.
Nah.
Everything
happens in Florida.
I'm telling you.
Trite. Everything trite happens in Florida.
Well, with me as a dog owner, I read the story. I'm like, could I imagine, I'm walking outside my dog, and all of a sudden, 8-foot python swallows my little Jack Russell.
Right. All right. Pass on that one.
Two addiction counselors at Halfway House die of drug overdose.
Wait, that's a great one.
Yeah.
I want to hear that one.
No joke, unconscious man rode on car's trunk for miles.
That's the best one. And wait a second. The guy's unconscious. We did those other stories and we didn't lead with this?
We've got to close with something big, man. And the last story, bear trying to get donuts tears off Colorado car bumper. So based on your action, we either do the addiction counselors dying of an overdose or the no joke unconscious man rode on a car's trunk for miles.
That's got to be the winner.
All right.
Can we hear that and then can we quickly do the drug?
Let's do one and let's see what happens.
Okay.
All right. By the way, it's a podcast, so we're not on airtime, so we could go long. People on Bubba Army Radio are like, this is supposed to be a 2-hour show. Well, we do it in 2 hours. So I guess, yeah, we're fine. We'll do both. How do you like that?
Right.
I run this goddamn show. Exactly. I'll do whatever the hell I want. You know what? I'm going to do all four.
Because I want to know the narcotics thing also. All right, so the guy, which one are we talking about? The guy on the car?
Let's start with the guy in the car.
He's unconscious. How is he unconscious? Was he hit by the car?
He got hit by some guy who was driving an Infiniti that was pissed. He was leaning against it.
Yeah. No, how? Ah!
Some guy. No joke. Unconscious man rode on car's trunk for miles in Memphis, Tennessee, when police pulled over a Tennessee couple and told them a body was lying on the trunk of their car. They thought it was a joke until they got out and looked. They found an unconscious man who had somehow remained on the trunk of the car for 14 miles. Driver Carl Webb told reporters he had left the Memphis in May, Barbecue Festival before the officer pulled them over. On Thursday, the officer asked him if he knew there was a person on his trunk, a question that didn't make sense to Webb at first. He goes, "Mister, I'm not messing with you. There's a body on your trunk." So I got out and walked around, and sure enough, there he was, still hanging on like a suckerfish. I made that up. Webb says there's a slight lip on the trunk that likely saved the man's life.
Oh, yeah, like the tail fin or something like that. Spoiler! It's called.
Yeah,
rare. It was a spoiler.
Yeah, okay, I'm thinking trunk, not hood. Yeah, you would notice it on your hood if you're driving.
Right, it's a spoiler. Yeah, I think that would be an even better. That would be the three
that
of us, Knuckle.
Story.
Hey, could you put the wipers on? I think there's a person on our hood. You know, I can't see. See, I'm from Brooklyn, so the people that are unconscious are usually in the trunk. There's the first joke.
Memphis police say a statement that Officer Benjamin Huff noticed that what appeared to be a man on the back of a Ford Taurus traveling around 65 miles per hour down an expressway, and he pulled a car over. Can you imagine you're driving on the highway and see some guy just laying on somebody's trunk?
No, I can't.
There's no doubt that Officer Huff prevented a tragedy. Yes, of course.
That's just ridiculous. I know people, we always say that people are asleep at the wheel or that today's society, was it a millennial? Is that the reason? Just not paying attention? I mean, so that goes back to the card store. People, let's look for a theme. People are just not paying attention. They're driving. Somebody's on their trunk. They don't look in the rearview mirror. I mean, nobody's paying attention to anything
anymore.
Well,
they just came back from a barbecue. Maybe the guy, like, again, why did that guy get mad at you for leaning against the car? And this guy wasn't that upset that somebody was sleeping on his trunk.
Oh, right.
Now, how
pissed this guy would have been if John were sleeping.
Can you imagine if John was like laying on the roof of the car, like, you know, or sitting there Indian style while we're all talking on the top of the car?
Well, then it would have at least warranted a response like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Just saying.
All right. What about the other one? Quickly, the two drug, the narcotics counselors who ended up killing themselves or something. What? I'm spicing it up, folks.
Residents of Halfway House found two men dead from overdoses. They're drug counselors. See the difference of timing?
Yes.
The man's losing battle with heroin was laid out right there on the nightstand of the Halfway House. There was three morning devotionals, including God calling, a geared toward keeping a person's thoughts toward heavenward. Then, see, this is why people do drugs, because when people go, you know, like, I mentioned one of my brothers was like an addict, so he kept going to NA meetings, and then, like, every time you go to, like, the graduations, I've been to a few of them, so, like, when they graduate these rehab places, you go, and the people you meet there, God bless them, because they're dealing with demons and stuff, but they're always, you know, like, it's almost like, they're always so fucking happy at the graduation. You know what I mean? But then you look at the faces of the family that have suffered.
Oh, God.
You know what I mean? It's like, you know, it's like, to me, there's got to be some humor there. Like, I've been always trying to write a joke about it. Like, You know, like, I'll give you an example. Like, you know, you get those people that are fake people on Facebook, these hot chicks that say they want to be your friends, mm-hmm. and they got no timeline, you know, this and that, right? And then you look, there's like, they got like 10 friends already. And I call it the wall of desperation. These guys that actually said yes to this, you know, to this, to the photo. And, you know, but I'm thinking the same thing, like, at the rehabs, you know, everybody's so happy. Oh, it's, you know, they're born again, or they're all excited now, and life's great, and you're so happy. And then, you know, but in my back of my mind, I kept thinking, yeah, you're going to go fuck up again. You know what I mean? Like, And then you look at the family like, oh yeah, you know. I remember one guy, I still remember this guy. It was the father of one of my brother's friends he met at the rehab. The kid, he was a little younger than my brother. And he was like, yeah. And the father said, yeah, let's see if he could fucking do it this time. Like, you know what I mean?
Oh, my God.
Like, the whole time.
No wonder the guy's having a hard time.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's another thing. You talk about visualization. If here you are quitting drugs or alcohol and your family's visualizing you going back on, maybe the problem are you guys.
Yeah, maybe you're doing drugs because of the family.
I graduated magnum cum laude.
There you go. Yeah, I've never heard that.
This show.
Yeah, we should. We ran 4 minutes over. That's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I want to thank Steve Marshall for joining us
today.
Thank
you for having me. Seriously, Dougie, thanks a ton.
Absolutely. Don't forget tonight at Tavolino's Wise Guys Comedy Show, 8:15 showtime. And your good friend, Jonathan Greenberg, musician extraordinaire. You can hire him. He does music. He plays guitar.
Private
right?
parties. And where are you playing? Aren't you playing at somebody? Where are you going to be next?
The Living Room. Next gig is probably June 2nd, Friday, June 2nd at 8 p.m. And then at the end of, and then the last Saturday in.
Where is the Living Room? Is it
Boynton Beach?
Boynton Beach.
The Living Room, Boynton Beach.
I'll be at Tavolino's with Dougie tonight in Coral Springs, 8:15 showtime. I'm at Don't Behave on Twitter or SteveMarshallComedy.com. Come on, write some stuff. Tell us what you thought. And
Doug,
just thanks, man. You're the best.
You got it, guys. Don't forget, Tavolino's week on Saturday, I'm going to be in Wilton Manors performing at Novelty at the Wine and Wit Comedy Show. And then May 31st, I'm going to be at the Mississippi Moon Bar in Dubuque, Iowa, at the Diamond Joe Casino. And then Penguins Comedy Club, June 1st and 2nd. Go to DougieAlmeida.com for more dates. Follow the show at Wake Up Dougie here on Twitter and on Instagram. Follow me at Dougie Dangerous and on Twitter. And join our fan page on Facebook. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll be back next week with all new shows right here at the same spot. Take care.
In the colors of a thousand sunsets, they travel to the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside. The beam of light hit the ground. Through the door to the world of another time. And on the journey of a thousand lifetimes with the children.